Track 6.
5.1. Exercise 7. 2.
Somehow I have to sort out their problem, this fear they have of flying. First, we talk as a group, and one by one they tell me about particular times when they've flown and what happened. 9 times out of 10 they describe regular, problem-free flights, just like the hundreds I flew myself. You see, most of their worries are only in their imagination. I also use drama and role play to teach them how to deal with other people's fears, because through that they sometimes forget their own problem or take it less seriously than before. Finally, but only if I think it's still necessary, we go up in a plane. My passenger is accompanied by an actor who plays the part of the nervous first-time traveler. I sit a few rows behind, and it's wonderful to watch my student staying calm, offering advice to this stranger. I've never failed yet.
3.
Mum, it's me. Look, I know you must be really angry, and I'm very sorry. We didn't mean to get lost out on the hills, but...
Oh, Tom! It's so good to hear your voice. We've been worried stiff since the police called round. We were sure this phone call would be bad news. I mean, it's been 3 days. Are you really okay?
Yeah. Helen's got a few bruises from her fall, and we haven't eaten much in 3 days, obviously. But other than that, yeah, we're doing fine.
Well, that's something. Your dad is still absolutely furious with you, of course. When do you think you'll be able to get home?
The day after tomorrow, all being well. We hope to get the...
4.
It was late at night, and I was in the living room watching television on my own. Funnily enough, I was watching a horror movie. It wasn't very scary, though. Well, I thought I heard a noise upstairs, so I turned off the TV, held my breath, and listened. And then there was this horrific crash. My first thought was, it's a burglar. I was scared stiff, but I knew I had to go up there. I remember I picked up an umbrella. Goodness knows what I would have done with it. Anyway, I crept up the stairs, and the first thing I saw was a bookcase on its side, with hundreds of books on the floor. Then I heard this whimpering sound coming from underneath the pile of books. It was the next-door neighbour's cat I'd heard. While I was putting away the books, I found something else. A live frog! That's when I was absolutely petrified. It sort of jumped out at me.
5.
Hi, Julie. If your phone's switched off, I guess you must be celebrating. Wow. This must feel as good as the day you graduated from university. No, even better than that. Anyway, just to say, you've made me a very proud dad. I'm absolutely delighted for you. You've worked so hard to achieve your goal, and you thoroughly deserve what they've offered you. I can't wait to see your novel in the shops. When will it be coming out, do you know? It's funny, isn't it? All those writing competitions you went in for as a child and you never won a thing. But you never gave up, did you? Well, as I said, I am really, really proud of you. Speak soon. Love you.
6.
We were all living in a small house in the countryside at the time. The house was in the middle of nowhere, and it was quite a long journey back from the university each evening, so I'd bought myself a small motorbike. Anyway, on one particular evening, I was on my way home when a really thick fog came down. I didn't know where I was, and I became very uneasy. I went on, rather slowly, but couldn't see anything I recognised. At one point, the road curved round, but because of the fog, I didn't see this and carried straight on and hit a wall. The impact threw me off the bike, and I ended up underneath it with my leg trapped. I screamed for help, but of course there was no one about. I realised that I had to get up and carry on, or stay there all night. So I pulled myself out from under the bike, got back on, and somehow arrived home, where my friends all took one look at me and called an ambulance. I needed 7 stitches, and they kept me in for observation.
7.
Malcolm Jarvis, you have recently sailed single-handedly around the world. At one stage, you were shipwrecked all alone in the middle of the ocean, clinging on to your damaged yacht. Weren't you terrified?
Not at the time. I suppose I was too busy trying to survive.
You mean finding things to eat?
More basic than hunger. First, I had to get myself out of the sea. Sharks had been a problem there. I managed to pull myself back into the yacht, but it had taken in a lot of water, so I spent a bit of time sorting that out.
And then were you able to keep yourself warm?
Only for a while. I wrapped myself in whatever I could find, including the sails, but by the second day I was in a really bad way because I couldn't feel my fingers and toes. They were completely numb. That was the most dreadful time. It was just as well they found me when they did.
8.
We were all in the main room planning what to do that day. The others were looking at a map on the table, but I was standing by the back window. About 6 of them burst in, waving guns and shouting things in a dialect we didn't understand. I knew they hadn't seen me over by the open window. They grabbed John and Gary. Ruth rushed to the doorway, but they got her too. In the meantime, I had managed to throw myself safely outside and had crawled underneath the house. Because of the rainy season, all the houses there are raised above the ground on wooden stilts. I kept totally still. I remember watching a beetle on a leaf, staring at it and hoping that they wouldn't find me. Finally, when I realised that they'd gone, I ran inside and radioed for help. My friends weren't so lucky. They were held as hostages for over 3 months.